Now, this is one reporter's comment upon the subject that has been assailing your eyes and your ears for the past several weeks. The whole area of espionage, treason, and subversive activity. Mr. Truman indicated at his news conference today, as he has done before, that a great deal of it is just headline hunting. While it must be admitted that some of the headlines are so blown up that they appear to have been shot with a big telescopic sight, it seems to me that the situation that obtains in this country today merits care. We are probably already well launched in a new era. We have abundant testimony from diplomats, military men, educators, and statesmen that this time of tension will continue. It is no passing phase. It is not just the psychological and emotional turbulence in the wake of war. This conflict with the Soviet Union presents the present situation cannot fairly be compared to the one that existed after the First World War, because then the communist concept was not supported and sustained by any considerable body of power. Now it is. The secretive, clandestine nature of communist operations has induced both fear and suspicion. It is in the mainstream of American tradition for us to differ with our neighbors, to suspect their motives, to denounce their policies or their political beliefs. But to suspect them of treason, of allegiance to a foreign power and ideology, is probably more widespread now than at any time in our national history. But there is danger of communist espionage and infiltration cannot be denied. That there is need for legal, constitutional methods of protection that seem to be equally obvious. But the current sensations which assail us on all sides shouldn't blind us to the fact that espionage, propaganda, and infiltration have been employed by every tribe and state since the beginning of history. The Chinese, 2 centuries before Christ, spelled out techniques and methods of operation that are still valid today. If this contest is to continue indefinitely, we must, as in wartime, have a care for the morale of the home front. Fear of the unknown, fear of depression, should not blind us to the fact that this country represents the greatest conglomeration of power in the world today. It may be that it is a mechanistic, materialistic civilization, a nation of headline readers, as some of our critics claim. But the fact is that the climate for the development of communism in this country is less salubrious than in any other in the world. We are also an impatient people, anxious for quick solutions, often intolerant, always desirous of action. I think that if we are going to sweat out successfully this continuing crisis, without losing our liberties while trying to defend them, we're going to have to do it in the old-fashioned way. In spite of jet planes and television and all the wonders of science, we will have to remain conscious of our own good fortune as well as our strength. The individual's independence of judgment must be protected. It can't be protected against sensational headlines or irresponsible broadcasters. But so far as I know, nobody in this country ever lost his liberty through those instruments. We sometimes forget that the thing that makes this country what it isn't our size or our racial mixture or anything else, but the fact that this is a nation that lives under law, where we have the right to believe that any law is a bad law and agitate for its repeal, where with few exceptions, a man cannot be convicted unless the rules of evidence are followed. It is deplorable that we have come to suspect each other more than we did before. It is regrettable that individuals and some organs of opinion are disposed to convict people by association or before they have been tried. If this tendency is accelerated, it may induce peace and endanger the right of dissent. But so long as neither the state nor an individual can take punitive action against a citizen except through due process of law, we shall have in our hands the weapons to defend our personal liberty and our national security. During the darkest days of the war in England, I remarked the frequent use of the simple word, one which is often effective with horses and with men. And the word is steady.